This is Word of Mouth from New Hampshire Public Radio. I'm Virginia Prescott. Steam engines have long captivated the imaginations of children. Among the most popular train-based entertainment franchises is Thomas and Friends.
Are you ready to roll, Thomas?
Ready to roll with...
And slowly, the two engines clickety-clack...
After decades of TV shows and the toys and the films and an annual ride on the Conway Scenic Railroad, a number of critics charge that Thomas and Friends is sexist, racist, anti-Semitic, and otherwise dismiss it as a relic of another time. Jessica Roque is a writer and contributor to Slate. Her article, Thomas the Imperialist Tank Engine, carries on a rich tradition of critical analysis of Thomas and Friends. Here she is, speaking with producer Taylor Quimby.
So the show itself is set on the Isle of Sodor, which is this very specific, very rural hilltops and clifftops and river, antiquated little island. There's no real city, and there's very few people. But there's all these little trains. Our hero is Thomas. It's this little blue engine. And all the trains work for a little top-hatted aristocrat named Sir Topham Hatt. It's really unlike other children's entertainment in a fundamental way. It presents a world of work. It's really not interested in childlike fantasy or wonder. I mean, aside from the talking trains, obviously.
Right.
It's based on rules that must be obeyed. And the very worst thing you can do is, as Sir Topham Hatt is always saying, cause confusion and delay.
Don't delay. Huff away. You all have jobs to do.
They're all in competition with one another. They're always trying to gain favor and position with him. And they relate to one another in a way that isn't particularly childlike. They sabotage each other, and they're constantly undercutting one another in order to get better assignments from their boss. So unlike some other children's entertainment, Thomas isn't about cooperation. It's about competition. So unfortunately, that's the kind of world that adults know very well. So it's very easy to read into it, I think.
Sir Topham Hatt has asked me to take this heavy goods train there.
Think again, Percy. Sir Topham Hatt asked me to pull this train, not you.
But Toby said I was to take it.
Toby? Since when does he tell other engines what to do?
Hello, everyone.
So how do social hierarchies play a role in your interpretation of Thomas the Tank Engine as a symbol of British imperialism, which you wrote about for Slate?
So it's very top-down. It does not correlate with kind of American conservatism, because American conservatism, it's conservative across the board, the kind of message of the show. But in American conservatism, there's this idea that anyone can rise to the top with, you know, hard enough work. But in Thomas the Tank Engine, all the trains are essentially vying to be in Sir Topham Hatt's favor, right? So you're basically trying to serve the aristocrats, trying to be right underneath him. They fear the foreign, you know, anyone who comes from other places, they're immediately kind of cast out, or they have to adapt to the Sodor way immediately. Anyone who tries to do something else or wants to do something else, they're humiliated and judged. You know, there's a really poignant one in which one of the trains is just kind of dreaming about being able to fly like a helicopter, and the other trains just humiliate him mercilessly. You know, it's really kind of cruel.
Grand engines don't collect garbage cars, Whiff. To be a grand engine, you must be strong, fast, and loud. And you'll never be any of those.
The message again and again is that the most important thing is to do your job efficiently and to try to serve the order best.
And as Sir Topham Hatt would put it, to be really useful.
Yes, exactly. That is the highest compliment that Sir Topham Hatt can give.
The engine that has been the most really useful, by the end of the day, will pull the Joby logs to the search and rescue center.
Now, you didn't mention at the very bottom of the social hierarchy are diesel engines, which for some reason are much, much worse than what the steam engines, or as they call them, steamies.
Well, yeah, in the Thomas universe, Thomas and most of the other trains are steam engines, and they are presented as just clearly better than, quote-unquote, dirty diesel.
Diesel oiled over.
I hope Sir Topham Hatt chooses me. Every day, I make sure I'm a really useful engine.
What about me, Thomas? I'm a really useful engine, too.
No, Diesel. I'm sure Sir Topham Hatt means a really useful steamy. You'll never be that.
But what's most disturbing about the Diesel-Steamy dynamic is that you feel sympathy for the Diesels, but within the show, the Steamies are never corrected in their cruelty toward them.
Yeah, there's this class structure, and instead of it being part of the moral, it's really just an established part of the show.
Mm-hmm, exactly.
Do you think it makes any sense for us to be questioning the logic of a children's show? I mean, are we being crazy, or is this just the natural thing as a parent, you know, forced to watch talking trains engage in bizarre social behavior to do? You know, is this just us sort of riffing because this is all we've got to work with?
I mean, yes, to a certain extent. That is, you know, you are forced as a parent to watch all kinds of things that you really can't believe you're watching all of a sudden. But but I do think that there are, especially with Thomas the Tank Engine, it's really difficult. I mean, there have been all kinds of interpretations, all kinds of different lenses through which this has been seen, not just the kind of British imperialist, but, you know, it's been seen as fascist and racist, sexist, anti-Semitic, nationalistic. But, I mean, most critics find it fundamentally conservative. So I do think that just about all standpoints, you can say that the world it shows is a very kind of top-down, authoritarian, paternalistic society. But yes, I think although you can maybe read too much into things sometimes, mm-hmm. it's also, I think, a fallacy to think that there aren't any messages in children's entertainment. Of course there's messages. There are messages in all stories.
Taylor Quimby there speaking with the writer Jessica Roque. You can find a link to read her article, Thomas the Imperialist Tank Engine, at wordofmouthradio.org. Stick around. Word of Mouth continues with a look into another relic of the past, handwritten correspondence. We're going to open the mailbag with the founder of the popular Letters of Note blog. That's after the news, when Word of Mouth continues.